And that's all. And God's people have no idea the whole thing has switched. It's gone from a little league baseball to jungle warfare, and nobody realizes it. So that's why I'm trying to sound the alarm. I'm not trying to exalt the devil's power. I'm trying to keep people from being deceived by the devil. And so that's exactly what you're saying was right. That's exactly what I've been trying to say. We've got to rely more on the inner witness, because these spirits are more and more and more looking like light, sounding like truth, dead on doctrinally, dead on regarding what God's doing. The only thing that's going to expose them is the inner witness, you know. Now, after a while, once you listen to somebody, after a while, the devil's or the spirit guy is or whatever, his wrong doctrine will start coming out, you know. But lots of times we just bump into people like passing ships in the night, you know what I mean? You know, we might pray for somebody, accept something they say, and that thing might become from the spirit, and they're long gone, and then we've opened ourselves up to some kind of, you know, influence, not God, you know. So we don't always have a lot of time to check people out, sit around, listen to their doctrine, and all that kind of stuff. So we got to, you know, have that inner witness going, so it's on the fly. You know, we don't get caught and trapped by the devil doing something. So I'm glad you shared, Steve. That's exactly right. Exactly right. And that's all I'm trying to do is warn people about this so they don't go down. I'm not trying to exalt Satan's power. I say Satan's more powerful than God, and Satan's more powerful than us. I'm just trying to say, hey, people, the chain has come off of Satan. The restrainer is no longer restraining. And everything that's in Satan's power to do, he's going to be doing in these days. And this revival down in Lakeland ain't going to be the last one. There's going to be more of it coming. It's going to be stronger and more close to the truth. And like I said in my little today, the next time, the guy may not look like a freak with his tattoos and his body piercings. Next time, he may look like just a normal Joe. And at first, it's somebody got a church or something. So we've got to get that discernment sharpened up. We don't disregard the other tests. We don't stop comparing it with the Word or making sure it's in line with what God's doing. We just add this and give it a little more emphasis than it has been. That's all. So anybody have anything else they want to share? Go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, one more thing real quick here. And let me tell you, ask you if you've experienced this. I had an email from a sister today that actually for the last few days she had been researching this Florida revival thing and ran across some of my articles, and particularly about Bob Jones. And she wrote me back because she listened to our audios about this Lakeland thing, and she wrote me back to tell me that she and her husband, they've been out of the church for a while, and they've been missionaries, and so they've been overseas, and they've seen some of this real demonic power going on. But a few years ago, they were still in a church, and they were having these revival meetings. She felt like the people in the church there and the leadership were really seeking God for repentance and holiness, and she tells me they experienced this gold dust manifestation, and it was not glitter, it was not fake, it was something that actually appeared on, and the two of them actually experienced it themselves. It would appear on their skin for a time, and then it would fade after a few hours, or in some cases after a few days. Now, it only seemed to happen when they were in the church, in this church. She said it's only happened to them one time since they came out, and that was when they did a funeral for someone that they knew, a person they knew that died, and the family asked them to do the funeral, and they had someone I think they had someone with them that was from South America at the time. But what she's telling me, and she's not, let me make this clear. She's not exalting this. She and her husband are saying they're still not sure what this is. They don't really think it's God, but they did experience it. It wasn't just plastic glitter. It really happened, and it did appear on their skin for a period of time. So I'm wondering if, Dan, if you have any insight into this. My initial thinking on this is that this is connected to being in the system and being a part of this religious system that they were in, and that somebody in there, whether from the leadership or somebody else, was allowing this manifestation to come in, and that even though they felt like they were really seeking God and seeking revival and seeking repentance and holiness, that there were demons there allowing this to come in. So do you have any insight on that, Dan, on what that could be? Because it certainly it goes beyond just the fake type of thing that we've been thinking that a lot of this is. What do y'all think about that? I'll turn over the mic.
Okay, far as what you said, Steve, probably the leadership of that church is involved with it, has opened the door to that spirit. Okay, if you're worshiping with people or praying with somebody, it doesn't matter what your condition is. When we worship with people, when we pray with people, we're having spiritual union with them. We're having union in the spirit with them. Okay, and if they're under evil spirits or some kind of crazy thing, we're opening ourselves up to that influence. It doesn't mean we automatically get possessed or anything. I'm just saying, when you pray with somebody or sing with somebody or worship with somebody, and they're under another spirit, you open yourself up to that influence. And if there's a power in that church that's not of God, it doesn't matter whether you are right or not. If you're worshiping those people, if you're praying with those people, if you entered into any kind of spiritual union with them, you're susceptible to come under that thing and to have some kind of manifestation like that. Now, the gold dust thing, as far as I'm aware, I can't remember the lady's name. It was a Catholic lady that came from South America who brought it here to the United States. If anybody knows her name, that was my view of that. You know, somebody in that church who has authority let that power in there. And just because they're worshiping with them and praying with them, that opened them up to it. Is that okay? Thank you. Ruth Heflin. Yeah, that was it. I couldn't remember her name. Thanks, Harold. Go ahead, out of the fire.
Yeah, I'm Guy. Kathy's husband. You know, you talked about before on this gold dust, that spirit coming out with that, the manifesting itself. I kind of wonder if these folks, when it didn't happen one place and another place it did happen, it just happened to be where that spirit is manifesting itself. You know, it's just, I don't know what you think on it, but that seems to be kind of what I kind of come up with. It's where that spirit is, and where that's where he'll manifest himself in this way. Over.
Okay, thanks for sharing, Guy. That's I agree. I appreciate you sharing. Thanks. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Okay, thanks, Dan, for letting me talk, and forgive me because my first language is not English, so I try my best to express myself. I just want to share a little bit about what God has shown me, what the Holy Spirit has shown me about some spiritual truth in my heart. I think there's a fundamental difference between born again, children of God, and the children of the devil. It's not by education that you can understand the truth of God. It's by the manifestation and by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. So you can only understand God's truth by the revelation of God. It's not initiated by us. It's initiated by God. And why God would show his truth to an unbeliever, that's not going to happen. And that's exactly the reason why when Jesus talked to the multitudes, he wouldn't he would tell all his speak in parables, because he said expressly that in order that they see but they can't understand, they hear it but they don't understand what it means. And he would only show to his own disciples what it means by talking to them privately, in secret. And that's what I'm trying to say is, you're only gonna understand the truth of God if you are born again of the Holy Ghost. And also of those who are born again of the Holy Ghost, some are babies, some are grown up, mature adults. And I think one of the very obvious sign of a born-again Christian is that he loves righteousness and he hates sin, because that's what God hates and that's what God loves. So if you love righteousness and you hate sin, God is going to show you bit by bit, and eventually you're going to grow up in Christ, because God is going to show you what he wants you to know. But if you don't love God, if you disobey God, because like Ephesians chapter 5, it says, do not be disobedient children. So there's two kinds of children. One is obedient children, the other is disobedient children. Both are born again, but some ended up losing their, like the parables of seed falling on the ground, different grounds. Some falling on the stones, and eventually they dried up and they died because they are not abiding in Christ. And that's exactly what the scripture is warning us about. That, you know, as a born again Christian, you have to press on. You have to walk the narrow way. There's no security if you leave Christ. If you are ended up in disobedience, you're gonna end up in death, and there's no turning back. And if you don't love righteousness, if you don't love God, if you don't hate sin, you're gonna be deceived sooner or later. But if you love righteousness and you hate sin, God is gonna protect you. He's gonna let you know. He's gonna give you discernment. And that's what I understand the scripture, the verses which says, if the righteous be scarcely saved. So that means, you know, it's gonna be, even the righteous is gonna be scarcely saved. That means the born again, the chosen ones, the called ones. Only a few are chosen. So I just want to share what the Spirit has shown me. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tim. That's good. Thanks for sharing it. We appreciate it. You're welcome to share anytime. Good words. Okay. Anybody else have anything they want to share? Anything at all? Kathy, I did get your... If Kathy's listening, guy, I did get her... she sent me a link to her newest article. I didn't get a chance to read it till today. It was pretty good. It was good truth. So I thank her for that. How about anybody else have anything? Karen says, I'm glad you changed to Sunday nights. Oh, good. Great. And Jen says, thank you. Thank you, Jen. Great. I'm glad you guys approve of that, or you think it's the Lord or whatever. I was praying for that for like a month or two. You know, I felt maybe the Lord was asking me to change, but I couldn't get up the nerve or whatever. I don't know what the word is. I just couldn't get myself to do it. And then two Saturdays in a row, it rained, knocked my dish out. I thought, uh-oh, I think the Lord might be speaking to me, so I'm going to do this thing. Sometimes we're slow to obey, you know. We just are, for whatever reason. I don't even know why I was so slow to obey. Who knows why? You know, I can't even put my finger on it. Maybe I just liked Saturday night, got sort of a groove, got used to doing it Saturday night. We're such a mess, aren't we? We are just such a mess. Creatures of habit. But anyway, okay, Guy or Kathy, go right ahead.
Hi, it's me this time. This whole thing with the Tim and or Todd Bentley and, you know, all these things that are coming out in the open, it's just going to get worse, and we hate to think about it, but it's just really manifesting. I was just looking here in Hebrews 5:14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I do believe, just like what just happened in the room here, we have got to be sensitive to the Spirit at all times, because we are going to be tried and tested everywhere we go. And it's just, it's part of our growing up and learning how to walk in the Spirit. And that's the whole point. So I think it's kind of amazing that the Lord's just, he's using every opportunity, and even in our, you know, this little group here on Pal Talk, you know, to demonstrate how to operate and be led by the Spirit. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. I've got to share a little testimony with you quick, a little testimony of how the Lord, I want the whole thing, but how the Lord opened our eyes to this spirit, these religious spirits, and how dangerous they are. We lived in Alaska for 7 years, moved up to a Delta Junction, Alaska. We opened a Christian bookstore, and we lived, bought a 7-bedroom house, lived kind of corporately, a couple brothers, sister, and a couple older friends of our family. And the Lord started showing us first in the scripture about this temple thing, that the spirit of Antichrist, some kind of spirit is going to sit in God's temple in the last days. And then he starts showing us other things. But what happened was people started coming to visit us. Now, Del Junction, Alaska is like 4,000 miles away from this area. And it's pretty far away from most places in the country, except maybe California or Washington. Okay, so when you got somebody that's going to travel all the way to Alaska to visit you, they're serious, you know. So a few people would come up and visit us and stay for a week or so. And then people started inviting me out to talk to their little groups and things. And for about 2-year period, everybody that came to visit us and everybody that I went to visit, it turned out they had these religious spirits. And I had no idea what I was dealing with, no idea what God was trying to show me. As a matter of fact, after about the third time, I really went to prayer and said, God, there's something wrong with me. Either I'm whacked out and I'm running into true Christians and I'm whacked out and they're seeming whacked out to me and I'm the one that's actually whacked out. Or else there's something wrong with me because I'm drawing all kinds of crazy people to me. You know, I'm drawing these fruitcakes like a magnet. You know, what's going on here? So I was first I was accusatory towards myself. I'll say, what's wrong with me? You know, I wasn't just running around saying, oh, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. You know, I can't be wrong, you're all wrong. I was looking at myself and saying, God, what's wrong with me? You know, is there something in me that's drawing all the fruitcakes? Or am I wrong and I just thinking everybody else is wrong? Or what? What's going on here? Well, this happened over a period of 2 or 3 years. That's about the sixth time. Suddenly it clicked. Suddenly I realized God was trying to show us something. He was trying to bring us into a new truth, something new, for us anyway, that we weren't really looking for, we weren't looking at, you know, and we weren't engaged in or focused on. And all of a sudden, once I started looking at this thing, God got my attention after about the sixth time this happened. The last time we traveled 4,000 miles to the east coast of Canada to minister to a two families, and the one guy had this spirit. And as soon as I walked in the room, I could feel it. And he was a Catholic. Well, basically, he was a Catholic, never left the Catholic Church. But he had all kinds of supernatural manifestations, and he walked in the room and saw light and all kinds of stuff. It was bizarre. But anyway, that was the last straw. I all of a sudden, I realized God was trying to show me something. And once we turned our head, once we got our attention in that direction, the revelation of what's going on started really coming. And then I started looking at the church system, because I wasn't part of the church system. I've never been really part of the church system. I started looking out there and reading books and talking to people inside the system I still knew. And God just started showing us how deceptive this thing was back then. That was 7 or 8 years ago. And how deceptive it's going to get. And so from then on, I've been warning God's people that we've shifted into a new gear. We've shifted into some kind of different atmosphere here. It ain't like it was 20 years ago, you know. And it doesn't mean you got to be scared of the devil or be afraid that God can't keep us. It just means you got to be more sober and more wise. I get more wisdom and more discernment. That's all. Okay. So that's how God sort of brought me into this whole area of understanding what's going on. You know, it's like we weren't looking for that. I was writing about sonship and the high calling in my books, and I wasn't even kind of looking at this whole area. It's like it sort of came out of nowhere. You know, God just sort of grabbed us and threw us in situations until we got our attention. And then once we got our attention, we started really looking at it. The revelation came and the knowledge came, the wisdom came. So that's all I'm trying to put out there. I'm just trying to say, hey, this is what's happening. Go get your wisdom from God. You don't have to listen to me. Go get your wisdom from God. God wants us all to increase in wisdom and understanding and especially discernment in these days. So that's how I got into it. So I'm just sort of trying to help other people get the revelation, get the understanding, and save them get it the hard way. I'd rather see people go pray and get God make it real to them than get into all kinds of horrible situations and get it that way. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I warn people. Amen. Okay. Rebecca says, there had never been a time as we are in now in the past, a little here, a little there, never been to the extent we have now. That's right, amen. These are the last days. And the devil's come down, like it says in Revelation, he has come down. He knows he has a short time, brother. He's come down in all his power and all his fury. And the people like that brother who really believes in eternal security, he just won't admit it, he is going to go down. He's already gone down. He's already down in the spirit. But he's going to go down in the end if he doesn't get more sober, more serious about what's going on here. You know, and that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons I hate that eternal security doctrine. That is such a damnable doctrine. That has set people up for the time that we're in right now. They can't be serious, they can't think they're in danger, and they can't watch, and they're going to go down. Okay, go ahead, stand fast.
Hi, everyone. Let's pray you can hear me. I share with you, Dan and others, I don't know, it might have been the last time that you were on, that about the Bible weekend that the kids went to. at Pentecostal church, and when I went to pick them up, you know, they were playing their last set, and, you know, they were just dancing and throwing their bodies around. It was just crazy, rock and roll music. So anyway, one day last week, I was out for my walk, and I walked by one of the youth pastors. I thought it was a youth pastor, live a couple houses down from me, and while I was walking by, he spoke to me, and he's only lived there a short while. And so I said, well, you're the youth pastor at Pentecostal Church, I believe. And he said, no, I'm the children's pastor. And so I asked him if he was involved in the Bible weekend, and he said, yes, he was. And I asked him if he was there for the last set or song that they played. I don't know how I said that. But and he said, oh, yes, yes, he was really excited to talk about it. And so... I said to him, I made a mistake, I suppose, of saying, well, what do you think your great-grandmother would think of what was going on there if she was alive, or great-great-grandmother, something like that? And he said, well, I think, well, maybe, well, yeah, well, I think she, you know, I think she would think it was okay. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I really probably shouldn't have said that about your grandmother, not knowing her. And I said, what spirit was operating there? What spirit would you call that? And he said, well, you know, there's a big picture, there's, you know, it's not like, it's just sort of like, and he just, you know, he just skirted around, and he was thinking about it and stumbling and bumbling a little bit. And anyway, I let him alone for a while because I really wanted to know what he thought about it. And so I just point blank asked him, I said, was it the Holy Spirit? And he said, well, the Holy Spirit, blah, blah, blah. And then he stopped. He just really stopped, and he just said plainly and unequivocally, no, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. He did say that, right? And so I'd made some mention about the dancing or whatever before too, right? And he said, you know, he said, you can sit down in the church Sunday mornings, you know, he said, with a long face on you. And he said, that's in the flesh, you know. And I said, well, I guess it could be. Now, maybe he thinks I go to that church, or maybe he was thinking at the time, right? Because he's fairly new around here, maybe a few months, maybe a year. So that's in the town itself. And I said, yeah, it could be, I guess. And but and he said, well, he said, I would say the dancing up on the seats, the kids dancing, he said, I would say that was in the flesh. I said, yeah. And I said, well, what about the ones upon the, what you call the altar, up on the platform that were dancing and, well, I didn't say boogieing, but I guess that's what it was, you know, the real rock and roll music. And I said, the one on the far end, the woman, because I spoke with her to Dan, you and the others before, that, you know, the way that she was shaking her body was disgraceful. And so I asked about her, and he said, oh, yeah, he said, I know, the one on the far hand on the right, she was the worship leader. And, you know, my goodness. So, but it was really chilly, and he had a little baby there that he just took out of the van in one of those little car things, and it was really cold. It was a little thing, a little baby, about, well, he was no more than 2 months old, I guess. And so I said, well, maybe you should put, you should, you know, take him in. I don't want to hang you up too long. And he said, well, I really like to talk about, you know, I wish I had more time. I'd like to talk about this with you. And I said, well, I just live 2 houses up, second house up from here, and I told him my name, and I said, you and your wife are invited to drop by any time. I would be pleased to have you drop by. So anyway, that was one day last week, and I haven't heard from him. So I just wanted to share that with you. And that's about all I can say that he said. And I don't know if I'll take it to the senior pastor or not, and just see where the Lord leads me on that. So thank you for this time. God bless.
Yeah, thanks for the update. So he thinks it was flesh, at least. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't see it's a spirit, but he thinks it's flesh. And his first response was, well, you sourpusses, you're in the flesh too. Right? We may be in the flesh with all our jungle jungle stuff, but you're in the flesh too because you won't move, right? Called self-justification. Well, you just got to do what the Lord tells you to do, sister. We'll pray you to keep on following the Lord in that issue. Anybody else have anything to share? Well, I'm glad everybody was here. Karen says we're keeping you and your family in our prayers. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Out of the Fire says it's very easy to receive another spirit if we are just one feelings. Amen. Amen, Out of the Fire. That's very true. Amen. Irma says very interesting discussion. Amen. Oh, thank you, Irma. Okay. Well, we just got to keep each other in prayer. Keep praying for discernment and wisdom, right? Yellow says that's why so many teens turn away. They hear very little about God and His holiness. That's right. You're right. The church is too busy trying to be, quote, relevant, trying to get down to their level, which is the world. Their level is the world. You got to try and pull them up out of that level, pull them up out of that ditch. Not get down there with them. Out of Fire says, same thing with the false revival. No salvation, no repentance, just restore my body by any spirit. Amen. That's exactly true. Exactly true. God gave me a little diagram one time. I can't show it to you because you can't put graphics up here. But because I was dealing with a sister, and she got a wrong spirit from the very beginning of her salvation experience. It was a false salvation. Then she got a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a false baptism. She had false gifts. Anyway, and God, when I was dealing with her, God gave me a diagram. And what he showed me was, when you try to come to Jesus without repentance, you get another Jesus. That's the dividing line. When people try to come to God, if there's repentance, they can get to the real Jesus. If they do not come to repentance for their sins, they get another Jesus. And then if somebody has another Jesus, once hears about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then they go to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they get a false baptism. And they take them deeper in that Antichrist spirit. So repentance is the hinge where all this thing swings upon. When people try to come to God without repentance, without understanding their sin, and they're an enemy of God, and they deserve hell, they're getting another Jesus right now. That's the people who are getting another Jesus. When you try to come to God without repentance, you're going on the wrong track from the very beginning. Everything you get on top of that is wrong, wrong, wrong from the beginning to end. So repentance is a very important key. Karen says that's what the church has now, a false Jesus. Absolutely. Exactly what they have. They're not preaching repentance. They're saying, come to Jesus. He'll do this for you and he'll do that for you. And you use Jesus to get what you want. Well, the Bible says God takes the crafty in their own craftiness. So when you come to Jesus with that kind of heart attitude, I'm coming to you to get. I'm going to manipulate you and use you to get what I want. He deals with you that way by turning you over to another Jesus from the very start. Yellow says that gold dust came to Cincinnati a few years ago. I heard from people who went to meetings where they claimed God opened heaven. Yeah. Then gold dust fell. Terrible, terrible delusion. I mean, when you got those kind of physical manifestations coming on the scene, you know you're pretty far into the occult. You're pretty far into the devil's territory. You're pretty far gone. We just got to keep warning people. Stay on a straight and narrow path ourselves. Keep serious. Ask for God's wisdom and discernment. And then warn those who God tells us to warn. The rest has to be done by the Holy Spirit. You know, we can't play God, try and save the world, try to save the church. Just save a few, maybe. Hopefully you can save a few, right? Out of the Fire says, where in the Bible did God ever do any miracles just to excite people? He didn't. You're right, he didn't. That's exactly right. All this stuff is just an exaltation of power. It's power for power's sake. Sensual, soulish, fleshy power. Oh, boy. Yellow says we must be sharp. That's right. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. God's the one that has to give us all wisdom, right? I'm just encouraging everybody to pray for it. Just encourage everybody to pray for it. God's got to be the one that does it all. We can encourage each other as much as possible, but in the end, it all has to come from the Lord, right? And it will come from the Lord if we're faithful and we do our part. If we do our part, we do what we can do, God will do for us what we can't do. He'll do his part. But he's not going to help lazy people that don't do their part, that aren't serious, that aren't praying, that aren't watching. We do what we can do, and God has to do what we can't do. You know, it's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know, we have a part to play, and God has his part to play. You know, and if we just do our part, God will keep us. He'll protect us. He'll give us the discernment we need. He'll give us the wisdom we need. And we're all going to make it through. And someday, we won't be in a chat room together. We'll be in the kingdom together. And we'll all be sitting down at the table, fellowship with each other in the kingdom. Won't that be nice? Won't it be nice in person with immortal bodies perfected in the kingdom. That'll be a glorious day, won't it? Amen. Yes, it will be a wonderful day. That's the joy that we're going to accept. We've got to keep that joy before us so we can endure all the suffering, endure the cross, endure what's happening, endure all the horrible things we're seeing come to pass. It will end. It will end one of these days, and we'll be in the kingdom with each other, with Jesus. Steve says he was in another room. Uh-oh. You didn't bring anything in here with you, did you? Karen says, do we need to talk? Okay. Well, anybody else have anything you want to share? Anything else on your mind? Steve, you have anything you want to share? Don't like to call on you. That's why you don't come to my room, because we always call on you to talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't always come in, because sometimes I like to just come in and be edified. But that's okay. Bobby's in the room, but she's on a different name that y'all don't know. So she's listening in while I was in the other room. You know what? I think a lot of this, and what people don't understand, what you're talking about in developing discernment, what you're really talking about is it's a matter of obedience. It's not automatic. It's a matter, you know, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If we're obedient, then we'll get that discernment. We have to seek God for these things. It is a work of the Spirit in our heart, but we have to seek after God. We can't just sit back and be passive and think that it's just all automatic that we'll know these things. And that's part of the once saved, always saved deception, that nobody wants to obey and nobody wants to seek after God for these things. So that's just kind of what I think of that, and I appreciate your word on that tonight, Dan. God bless you, brother.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Thanks for dropping by. I'm trying to figure out what that secret name is that Bobby's under. Out of the Fire says, passive is the key word. Amen. They tell people to just empty their minds and receive. Yep. Don't ever check your brain at the door. Never. God says, come, let us reason together. You know, we're not supposed to lead to our own reasoning, but God wants our mind under his control. God wants our mind to be his mind. He wants our mind to be under his influence. And it's not that he doesn't want us to be against logic and reason. He wants us to have our mind under his control and his government and use that mind. You know, come, let us reason together, the Lord says. Anybody tells you to check your brain, run, run. Now the Fire says, bring our thoughts into subjection to him. Amen. Don't look back, Karen says. Don't look back. Amen. Well, that's good. I'm glad you all were sharing tonight. And I'm glad you all recognized what was going on there. That gives me hope for you. Shows you all, so at least some of you have discernment there. And may God sharpen it and keep sharpening it, right? Alrighty. Yeah, I'm glad you came by, Steve. And Bobby, whoever you are, thank you for coming by. I'm glad you were here. Well, anybody else have anything? It's getting kind of late. Anybody else want to share anything? Rebecca says, God bring light. What is hidden? That's right. Amen. Well, last call. Anybody have anything? I appreciate y'all coming out. Glad y'all stopped by. Glad you listened. Oh, yeah. I've been told to remind everybody to listen to my thing I put up here on my website, my little message about Lakeland. Okay? So if you have a chance, go listen to that. It's kind of rough. I'm going to warn you, it's not the gentle Daniel you're used to hearing, okay? I had a real heavy, heavy, heavy burden. And there's a fire rising up my bones. So that comes out in that message, but I had to do it. Anyway, so God bless everybody. And thanks for coming out again. And we'll see you next Sunday. God willing, and the river don't rise.